Welcome to the FanQuest podcast. I'm Dan Vettabunker.
I'm Christiana Jones.
I'm Connor Lloyd.
I'm Lyndon Rutschenko.
And I'm Kyle Rudge.
Hey, we did it. Right on. Welcome to the podcast, guys. How's everybody doing this week?
I'm tired.
I'm sick.
Sick and
having
tired.
A great week.
How you feeling, Christiana?
I'll hope to mute my microphone when I sneeze.
All right. Yeah, it's been a bit of a rough week sickness-wise. I had a couple students call in sick today for class, and there's definitely a nasty bug going around, but we're powering through it here at Team FanQuest and continuing our preparations for the event coming up this May. I guess what we'll do, like the last week, we kind of checked in with everybody to see what everyone's working on. I imagine some of us are still working on the same stuff, so we don't want to repeat ourselves, but since Connor wasn't here last week, let's check in with him. Connor, what have you been working on this week for Team FanQuest?
Well, we got a lot of things in the hopper right now as we firm up the guest list and as we lock down a few other things that we need for FanQuest going forward. But one of the great things about this event is that we're going to have over 2,000 attendees who are anywhere between the ages of 18 to 50. And it's a great opportunity for a lot of people and a lot of businesses in the community to get involved. So we're really hammering out and finalizing our sponsorships package that we're going to be sending out to a lot of different businesses, vendors, organizations here in Manitoba, and you know, even outside of Manitoba, who might want to get involved. And there's a ton of different levels that I think, Dan, you and I have been working on that we've kind of sussed out at this point that I think would be good, like everything from a volunteer sponsor, programming sponsors, people getting on board to sponsor the bazaar, even once we lock down the rest of our guests to announce and sponsor them too. So we're really getting that balance right now.
Yeah, and I think we should be clear and upfront about this. We're really only looking to confirm one more guest, right, guys?
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no, we've got this one guest that we've been talking about for a while, just waiting for confirmation, and it's just taking them a little bit longer than we hoped. But that's it. Once we've announced that guest, that will be it for guests. We can't afford anybody else. But we think we've got a great line. I was looking at the website today and looking at the guest list, and I'm like, this is pretty good.
I think it's pretty good for the first year.
We've got a good group of people coming in and covering a bunch of different fandoms and all kinds of stuff. So I'm pretty excited about our guests, hey?
I'm excited. I'm super excited.
Yeah, there's no reason not to be, Dan. And I think the nice thing is for the people who we want to bring in or places that want to become sponsors to get really involved with FanQuest on the ground floor, there's just so much value attached to being a part of this con this year based on the guests we have, the venue we have, the people involved. There's going to be a lot of great ways to get these sponsors involved, but they're going to get a lot of value, for what they're putting into it too, because everybody's just really excited about being a part of it. So yeah, I can't wait to pull the trigger on this.
And it's funny because I've mentioned in the past that other events, not all other events, but so many events here in Winnipeg of this nature don't always have like corporate sponsorship or any major brand sponsoring them. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because they've always done things a certain way or they don't have experience with sponsors, but it just adds so much to both our event and their brand that it's just a natural partnership that we're looking to form here. So it's a great fit for the right company.
And I'm really hoping that, from this, we're going to develop some really, long-standing relationships with great organizations and folks here in the city that want to come on board and be part of FanQuest as we continue to grow and get better and better every year.
Absolutely. Okay, so I do want to talk about programming for a minute. By the way, Lyndon and Kyle, how are you guys doing?
Well, you said that here of us at FanQuest were powering through the flu. I'm not. I am taking it like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And I have let it beat the snot out of me. So, no, other than that, I've just been trying to lay out floor plan and arrange power. That's really making sure that – because, when you want to power as many computers as we have – those are one of the things that people don't often consider because it's like, oh, we've got an outlet, we're fine. It's like, yeah, we're going to pull a few breakers if we just do that. And it's like, oh, well, there's several power outlets. Well, that's fine. But if they're all in the same breaker, it doesn't matter. And so these are the things that some people don't think about, but we don't want to get surprised on the day off.
We don't want a power outage for sure. Good point. Okay, so we're continuing to work on that. We've put together a tentative schedule for programming that I can talk about, barring the one guest that we haven't announced yet. So I won't mention that person. But basically we've got, and what I was thinking, you guys tell me what you think of this, because one of the issues with starting the programming right as the event starts is it always takes people time to get in through the gate and find their seat and all that other stuff. And I thought it was something that we might want to go, like, for people who are intent on attending the first the first session, which starts at 10 o'clock, which is when our doors open, I'm thinking we let them in early. You know, we let them line up outside the theater and then take their tickets there or something like that.
I think that works.
Yeah?
If the logistics work, do we have a set spot for people to start lining up at?
No. Well, I think that it'll be, like, we'll have one, we're going to have, there's kind of two sides to the atrium that comes in, and there's multiple entrances to the university, so that kind of, that's a bit of a problem, but I think that basically we'll have good people there ready to scan tickets or to take money for tickets, and we'll ask people if they're coming in, are you coming here for the first session? Which, by the way, the very first session will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the Blame Society Films Q&A. So that's Blame Society Films, creators of Chad Vader and Beer and Board Games. So we'll get them up at 10 o'clock in the theater doing a Q&A. And so if anybody shows up and wants to go right to that, we'll just send them upstairs to the theater. They can line up outside the theater.
Yeah, we could even be checking tickets in line.
Absolutely.
Like going through the line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to the first one? And then it's, yes, okay, let me check your ticket. You can go right up to the theater.
That's exactly it. Yep. I think that would
it be easier to just say that our bazaar opens at 10 and we can let people go sit in the theater before that if they want to.
I don't
want
to let people,
because obviously we're not gonna have the guests come in until 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So we'll let them like 10 minutes beforehand or something like that so they can get in and grab a seat. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Okay. So we'll do that. So the first session, as I said, is Blame Society Films. Then we'll go on to 11 o'clock. We'll have the first, I guess it'll be the second D&D improv session, because the first one will be on the Friday night. Correct, Lyndon?
That is correct.
Okay. And then at noon, we've got our second Q&A, Patrick Savangi from The Flash and Homeland and all this other stuff, Power Rangers movie. He's going to be doing his Q&A. Then at 1 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to have a cosplay panel. And what exactly this is going to entail, we're still not sure. We have a lot of people interested in participating. We've got a lot of different subjects we could cover when it comes to cosplay. I think, what do you guys think we should cover in this session as far as cosplay? Should it be like how to get started or what?
I think Christiana is our resident expert here.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, getting started. But I think it's also like a discussion, like props are a big piece of it, but they're almost their own environment. And same with armor, it can kind of almost be its own environment. So I think it depends on, really depends on the crowd and what the fans want. Right?
Yeah. Maybe we should put that out to the fans and see what people want.
I think so. Because it's tough to do like an all around cosplay thing, because you can do cosplay as in like you go to Value Village and take things and resew them and like fix it up kind of cosplay, or you can be spending hundreds upon hundreds of dollars on like the plastic that you can mold with a hairdryer and stuff like that. And like it's really you it's as much as it is as what you put into it kind of thing. So it depends on how invested people are in it.
Yeah, and like you said, there's definitely different kinds of cosplay, and there are other people, and we will have a couple of armor type people there. I'm sure you know, the 501st and Manitoba Mando will be there with his, he's got the cool Boba Fett type armor, Mandalorian armor.
Mandalorians. If you didn't know that, Dan, I was going to get after you.
What?
Oh, yeah. If Dan didn't know what a Mandalorian was, we'd fire him.
Yeah.
You can't fire me. I know what a Mandalorian is. One of our booths is Don's Prop Shop, and he's got a 3D printer. So he prints his armor in 3D somehow.
That's
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
It's going to look pretty cool. And then we've got also this week, this is just kind of it's not really an announcement because we had him set a long time ago, but we just finally got around to promoting his appearance. We've got Jamie Young coming in, and he is known as Foamtastic Creations. Now, he works mainly with like floor mat foam. That's his medium of choice, and he creates. He has created some armor. He created kind of a bust of Iron Man and the Master Chief's helmet from Halo, but also he does mainly Star Wars. Like he's recreated an AT-AT, BB-8, R2-D2, even a Wally, which is in Star Wars, but it's still Disney. So he's got all these kind of cool props he's created. He's going to be bringing them all in to FanQuest and setting them up for people to take a look at and take photos with. And so maybe we can get him involved in that as well, if that's what people want to hear about as far as
I'm super interested to see how he does it, because it's those, like these are like the foam things that I like buy for my children that are puzzle pieces and you put together. It's the same type of foam that he uses.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you turn it into this structure?
Do we want to talk about his FanQuest exclusive that he's making?
It's not an exclusive. Well,
it's done in time for.
Yeah, FanQuest. Actually, well, it'll be the first appearance. Is his Slave 2? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Slave 2. Slave 2. Boba Fett's spaceship was Slave 2.
Yeah.
He's going to be creating. He's working on it right now. He says it will be ready in time for FanQuest, but then he's going to also take it on to the next con he goes to, which I believe is ThunderCon in Thunder Bay. ThunderCon. Sounds like a Thundercats con. That would be even cooler, but it's still pretty cool.
No, it wouldn't. Oh, man. Thundercats does not hold up.
No, but there was a new series. Did you watch the new one? There was a newer one. Pretty good.
I couldn't bring myself to. I'm like, I want to leave this in nostalgia where I loved it.
Okay, fair enough.
leave it where it belongs.
I did enjoy it when I was a kid, that's for sure. I haven't really watched it since then. But the newer series was not bad. So anyway, so he's coming to FanQuest, and actually it's interesting, he just was featured on StarWars.com for really? All of his creations. I'll link to that on our social media. You can read that article. So getting noticed in the Star Wars world, and we're going to have him. So he could also be a part of this panel if we want to have him in talking about props. Moving on to 2 o'clock, we have Steve Costanzi, who announced last week. He is the makeup artist. He didn't get the Academy Award, but he is part of the group that won the Academy Award for Suicide Squad. And he does. I've been speaking to him through email. He deals mainly with prosthetics, so I'm sure he was one of the guys that was working on Killer Croc in that movie. That's got to be, because that's what he does. It's prosthetics. It's like things on your face and that kind of stuff. So we're trying to get him to do either a demo, and I know, Kyle, you want him to do a workshop, but there's
I think that would be great. I know a lot of people that do makeup stuff and would love to, like, okay, how do I do this better? And
yeah, so it all depends on what kind of prosthetics and stuff he can have available for it. So regardless, he's going to do something, either a demo or a workshop. But if we have a workshop, then we have to make sure we have enough stuff for everybody at the workshop, right? So there's that issue as well. So we'll work on it. But he's definitely going to be showing us a little bit of his magic as he creates something out of nothing as far as putting on makeup and special effects. Then we've got a Q&A for somebody we haven't announced yet, and I can't talk about him or her. So we'll skip over that and then go to the final 2 hours on Saturday. We'll be live League of Legends with Philol and Huzzy, our two League of Legends YouTubers coming in from the Great Britain. And what are they going to be doing, Kyle, for that session?
I'm still talking with them to confirm, but right now the running theory that we're going with is they do a couple of series when they play. Huzzy is very famous for his Unranked Diamond series, where he takes a brand new, fresh account, takes it all the way to diamond level and shows you how it's possible along the way. And then Philol, he does a lot of like educational style of videos. And so what I was thinking was getting them to do OQ on a North American account. And basically, they do their live stream / education / banter right from the stage. And so it's one of those things where it will be recorded, and they're welcome to use it on their channel if they choose to do so. But the idea then is that we get to see it live as opposed to just watching it on Twitch. And so I was thinking for those 2 hours, I think that would be a lot of fun. The other possibility that we're floating around was actually having two teams on stage and having like people who have just signed up, whether they are bronze level or silver level or wherever we put them, two teams, and each Huzzy takes a coaching of one side and Philol takes the coaching of the other, and they compete, and we watch it on the screen, and we get to see Huzzy and Philol trying to coach a bunch of noobs to be better at this idea. And I think it would be fun because there's other things that I'd love to do. Like, I'd love to, as they were coaching or whatever, like, you know, if we brought out a Nerf gun and gave it to Huzzy, I think that would be great. and then, you know, bring out a shield for Philol and be like, all right, keep coaching. So just trying to find, like, fun, creative ways to just make it an even greater experience than just watching people play League on stage.
Yeah, no, for sure. That sounds like a lot of fun. Maybe you can give the Nerf gun to the audience, and they could do that. Right? Get them involved.
I want a Nerf Gatling gun. Those things exist, right?
They do exist, yeah. Actually.
They do.
No,
yeah,
it's crazy.
They're pretty intense.
My kids love Nerf guns, and every time we go to the store, they want to buy another one. I'm like, it's $50 for a fully automatic Nerf gun. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I have a few friends who LARP, and they like modify it so they can shoot 90 feet or something ridiculous like that.
Oh, man, that sounds not safe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
when Nerf guns go on sale, I know a lot of cosplayers head over to Toys R Us because, yeah, they're really good to paint on and modify in that regard. So.
Yeah, that's me.
Interesting.
I'm the weirdo at Toys R Us.
There we go. We could run a workshop on that, eh? On Nerf gun mods. Yeah, Nerf gun mods. Yeah. That'd be fun. The other thing we should mention with regards to programming is I've confirmed, and I haven't told you guys this, so here it is, that we will have a second room, or we did tell you guys on the Facebook group, we have a second room booked. It's a classroom, so it's not going to be the theater, but it is a second room booked for more programming and workshops and stuff, so we're going to be booking that as well for other panels and other things like that. So most of the showy stuff is going to be kind of in the theater just because it's a better setting, but there's going to be a lot of other stuff happening in the other room as well. So we'll have those running concurrently, and you can go to either or. And the other thing, actually, I'm just realizing now is that we also have a bit of a courtyard to work in as well. Just outside the atrium at the University mm-hmm. of Winnipeg, there's a little courtyard. And I've been talking with some LARPers, the Wild Guard LARP group, and they're looking at doing a LARP right there in that little courtyard. And they're also going to be doing a demo of how to fight or something. I don't know what it is. It's like how to fight without hurting people. It's kind of
oh.
I remember I got invited to an SCA event. And they put me into the ring with heavy weapons, with giant swords, and got to bash on people. And I got schooled pretty hardcore, and I had bruises to prove it. But I know LARPing's a little bit different.
No, it is. But they want to tell people more about it, and they really want to try and recruit more people to their group. And it sounds like a great organization. They're going to be doing their demo is going to be on stage in the theater at 3:00 on Sunday. But before that, probably on the Saturday and Sunday afternoon, they're going to be working in the courtyard. But we can also program other stuff in the courtyard as well if we want. I don't know what other kind of stuff we could, and I guess it's all weather dependent. If it's raining, then we couldn't do much out there. But I think there's a good space there that won't cost us anything extra for booking. We've already been told we could use it, so start thinking about that too, eh? So going on to Sunday, we also have another sketch comedy group, the Transcona Yacht Club, which is a local sketch comedy group. They usually do YouTube videos, but they have a table in the bazaar, and they're also going to do a performance, and it's going to be kind of a Star Wars themed performance, they tell me. So I'm not sure exactly what it is. You have got a strange look on your face.
I think I saw them at an art show, but at District Stop, they were showing a bunch of local people,
okay.
And I'm pretty sure it could have been a different.
Well, was it an Assassin's Creed looking video? They have one that they did.
No.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
They did.
No,
a,
I haven't.
Yeah, they did at the Forks. It was in winter, and they did an Assassin's Creed video where they went around and kind of did some like computer mod onto it and stuff like that too. And yeah, my thought is
someone else.
Yeah, what kind of name is Transcona Yacht Club? That one throws me off every time.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do you imagine Transcona is the kind of place to have a yacht club, seeing as it's near no body of water?
But it's also Transcona, which is not a it's a working class neighborhood, so it's not a fancy, not the kind of place that would have a yacht club, even if it did have a body of water near it. So it is ironic. It's very ironic. We can ask them about that. Maybe we'll have them on the podcast to talk about it. And then we go into the Game Society. Okay, so we got within the Blame Society Films group, there's also another channel they run called Game Society, which is a Let's Play, and they do stuff with Skyrim is it 7 Days to Die? Is that the zombie one? That's
no idea.
Heard of that one? Anybody heard of that game, 7 Days to Die?
No.
No? Okay, it's an online PC game. It's kind of like a mix between Minecraft and I guess a zombie apocalypse game, but they do stuff with that. And so their thing is like they do play-alongs, but they also do a bit of comedy in there as well, and they try to improvise and have some fun with it. On the weekend, actually, I retweeted this on the weekend from the FanQuest account. They did a live stream for Breath of the Wild. They were playing that on YouTube. So they were playing. If for those of you, by the way, Lyndon, how's that going with that game?
Oh, so, I've been forcing myself to stop playing after 2 hours. I've been doing 2 hour sittings. So I need to actually get like productive things done too. But the game is huge. Like I haven't done anything essentially at this point in it still.
And it's just an open world game?
Yeah, essentially. There are boundaries, but you can tackle the main temples or the quest line kind of in whatever order you want to. It seems I'm kind of just getting started with it. But it's a giant open world that you can kind of go wherever you want. I found a video actually online And it's a guy who gets, he goes from the tutorial, the end of the tutorial, essentially to the final boss in the game in 12 minutes. And then he gets his butt kicked. But you can go and try and fight the final boss right at the beginning if you want to. But you're going to lose.
Yeah, because you're not leveled up enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. So,
unlike any other Zelda game that I've played.
Wow. Well, there you go. So these guys also played those type of games. So they'll be doing a panel, just the Game Society guys, which is Aaron and Adam. Those two guys are in part of that. And then the next segment, again, we can't announce it because it involves somebody we haven't announced yet. And then D&D Improv will be doing their final event. So D&D Improv has four performances over the weekend. Two of them will be in the evenings, Friday and Saturday evenings, and two of them will be at the con that you can see as part of your admission. And this will be the final one, kind of wrapping up all the other performances because they do like a serialized storytelling, I guess. So that'll be fun. And then after D&D Improv, we've got Wild Guard, as I said. And then, I'm still waiting to confirm this, so I shouldn't announce it, but I think it's pretty much a done deal where we always talked about having like a director commentary type thing happening. We screen a film and then just give the director of that film or somebody who's involved in the film a microphone and have them talk over it for the movie and just give us their insight into it, like a live commentary. And so one thing that Stephen Kostansky, in addition to being a makeup artist and that kind of stuff, he's also the director of Manborg.
Manborg, yes. Please give us a commentary of Manborg.
Some people were requesting it. As soon as we announced him last week, people were requesting that. So we're gonna have him basically just sits there and watches the movie and gives us a little insight into the making of the film, which I believe was shot here in Winnipeg.
I don't know.
It says when I looked it up on IMDb, a lot of the actors, I guess he's from Winnipeg, so a lot of the actors are also from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he shot it here or not, but that's one of the questions we can ask him, I guess, during that. So I've got that slated for the last 2 hours on Sunday, is that Manborg screening. And then maybe a Q&A afterwards. And by the way, you guys are anybody out there a fan of horror films?
Like, yes. The people you're talking to on the podcast for everyone out there?
Yeah, I'm talking about you guys all. I don't want to say everybody. Because I just watched.
Maybe.
You don't, are you not?
I love horror films.
I do too. Kyle, you're not a fan?
It depends on the horror film. There are some things that I'm like, nope.
Too scary.
I love the cheesy Friday the 13th horror
movies. Yeah, those are fun.
I'm a giant fan.
And that's kind of
I'm not certain those are horror movies, though. Those are more comedy,
those
really.
Those are like
No. They were horror movies. Now they're more comedy.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's what Steve Kostansky has done, that kind of stuff in the past, more of the schlocky comedy type stuff. But the one that he's got coming out next month called The Void, it's actually screening here in Winnipeg at the Cinematheque first week of April, and it's going to be on demand right away anyway, so you can download it or watch it on iTunes or whatever. It looks genuinely scary. It looks like a really, really good, scary horror movie, and I'm actually quite looking forward to it. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to give away two tickets for that to our followers on social media somehow in the next few weeks. So keep an eye on our social media channels for that because it looks amazing. If you love horror movies, you're going to love this movie. And Steve is going to be here for one of the screenings. That's why I'm waiting to find out which one, so we can give away tickets to that screening so you can talk to him about that as well.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's our programming schedule. What is this? How does that sound to you guys?
Exciting.
I'm clapping for myself here.
Like a weekend full of fun and amazing.
Oh, and that's
things.
Only one room. That's only one room. We've got the gaming area. We'll have the secondary programming area. We'll have the bazaar. I almost said it the wrong way.
The bazaar.
So yeah, lots of stuff going on. Let's talk about our fandoms. What kind of stuff have you guys been doing to celebrate your fandoms this week?
Zelda.
Yeah, well, Zelda for sure. Yeah. But you're not celebrating too much. You're only doing 2 hours. What is this, 2 hours and then another 2 hours? Like, how often are you playing these 2 hours?
A day.
Oh, really?
I've capped it.
Oh, wow.
I've got a lot of work to do during the day.
So 2 hours.
That's how I wrap up my day.
Okay, so 2 hours at the end of the day. That's pretty good.
I, on the other hand, played Skyrim for 10 hours straight without leaving my chair on the weekend.
And how was
Swap
that?
Butt.
Yeah, it was... was like, my husband's like, are you going to play through as a destruction mage, or are you going to do something different? Like, I have a destruction magic tattoo from Elder Scrolls, and I was like, who do you think I am? Like, yeah, obviously I'm going to be a destruction mage and play the same game basically over and over again, but this time I installed a bunch of mods on it, so it's a little bit different. It's slightly different, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's funny, because that game has been out for a long time, Skyrim.
It has.
People keep playing it. It's still an excellent game.
I've wasted my life on Skyrim, and I will continue to waste my life on Skyrim until, I guess, they release a new game.
Yeah. But that's
coming out on the Nintendo Switch.
You know, guys, I gotta say, speaking of the Switch, I gotta say, like, I was out in the weekend looking around. Doesn't appear to be anywhere. Like, everyone seems to be sold out of it right now. But then I saw a video on YouTube, and it was by Adam Korolec, who's coming to FanQuest, and he was talking about how he's not so sure the Switch is going to be like the success that everybody's saying it is. Just because, I mean, it's kind of, again, there's a lot of weak. There's only like 5 games out for this console right now, which is kind of weak for a launch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A new console launch? Like, Nintendo kind of does that traditionally.
I think people are also just wary of any kind of mobile gaming at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been done. Like, I don't want to say done well, but it's never been perfected. The DS is pretty great. Like, I have one, but I don't use it super often. I had a PSP. I've never had a Vita, but like, I've tried it, and there's no like mobile gaming console that has actually like gotten me hooked and like using it pretty regularly. So
the only reason I have a 3DS is so that I can play the new Pokemon games.
Yeah, I'm the
and then it's just a kind
reason.
Of a bonus that every once in a while there's a new Zelda that comes out. Like, Link Between Worlds was fun, but I don't think I would have bought a 3DS for it.
Yeah.
Whereas Pokemon is one of those things that people are like, oh, no, I should probably play this.
Yeah, that's the only reason I have a 3DS.
Like, because I bought the Wii U, and I didn't feel like it was used to its fullest potential, so I feel kind of burned.
Yeah, me too.
And the only reason I'd buy a Switch is to play Zelda, and I've got buddies that own it on the Wii U, and they're like, it's pretty much the same game. So yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll just play it on the Wii U.
That was Adam's point in the video. It's like everybody's just so in love with this game, the Zelda game, that they're kind of overlooking everything else. But there really is nothing. There's the 1-2 Switch. There's a Bomberman game. And then there's like ports of Skylanders and something else. And it's like really, really poor quality. Like, there's nothing else for launch. And that's what happened with the Wii U. There was like the Mario game that everyone loved at first. And that's it. So it was kind of it's kind of a rough thing when you don't have that many games to play with when the console launches, right? And so we still use our Wii U all the time. We were playing it on the weekend. It's still something we use every day almost in my house. So my kids love it. Like Splatoon, they love that game. So there's a lot of good games that came out in the last part of the I guess they're still going to release stuff on Wii U. But this last year has been pretty good. No, they're not?
Zelda is, well, not Nintendo. Zelda is the last Nintendo-produced Wii U title.
Oh,
yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, it's slowly dying. See, mm-hmm. One of the things with the Wii U, there is one thing, and it was Penny Arcade. They had written a comic when the Wii U first came out, and they're talking about the gimmick of having the game screen. And they had said, okay, what you need to do is this. You need to create a Dungeons & Dragons game where the Dungeon Master is the one that holds the game screen, and he can input, you know, information that everybody gets to see on the screen and they get to experience. So he tells the story through that way. And then I remember the last panel of the column was, "You're welcome." And I'm like, I long for that to exist. Like, I don't feel like the gamepad was ever used to that huge degree.
Yeah.
And so I just feel so frustrated.
Especially because you can only connect, what, one gamepad, maybe 2 gamepads to the console?
Oh, I never tried doing more than one. I never even thought of that.
But like, imagine they could have made some really fun games if you could have 4 gamepads to a console, because then you're not sharing screens at all.
Yeah, that's interesting.
See, one of the things that they did do is, like, one of the launch titles was Nintendo Land, and it was just a silly little launch title, but there were a few games on there, like a steeplechase, where the person with the gamepad was running away from everyone else, and they had a map on their gamepad where they could see where everybody was, but everybody else only looked at the screen, and they had to, like, find where you were. And it was 1v4, and it was so much fun, because it equaled the playing field, so you could do a game like that, but they never really capitalized on that much.
Yeah, no, you're right, and they showcased that gamepad in a really good way, so much so that our first copy of that got scratched, we actually bought another version of Nintendo Land, just so we could have those games, because it was a ton of fun. And there was the Haunted Mansion one as well, where one person's the ghost.
The Haunted Mansion one was the best.
Yeah, it's really, really clever, you're right, they never did really use that to their advantage. I think they've tried to solve some of that with the Switch. Like, you can link, I don't know how many, up to maybe 8 Switches at once, but you need 8 different consoles, right? So it's a bit of a stretch to think people would actually do that. But anyway, I think that it's you have to wait on it right now, because it's too early to tell, and I'm not going to rush out to buy it this Christmas for sure. I'm going to wait and see what comes out. That sucks, though, about the Wii U, because I think there could still be some life there if they actually dedicated some resources to it.
I said, I'm still waiting for the Super Mario Sunshine remaster.
Yeah, that's right. They should do that. Why wouldn't they do that? It's a great game. A lot of people love it.
They've been doing that with all of their other games.
Yep. They should absolutely release that. Just online, just as a digital download. You know, yeah. Lots of people would go for that for sure.
And I don't have a source, but I seem to recall reading somewhere that Nintendo said that there would be more GameCube games ending up in the online eShop.
And actually, Kyle, I should tell you that I read an article on the weekend that said that there are digital Dungeon Master tools coming somehow. I don't know if it's just through tablets or phones, but there will be, like, D&D is releasing some actual apps that will allow you to play with your device so that you can kind of create that.
Well, there are some out there. Like, I've supported some Kickstarters that have that type of stuff. Like, Infinitas DM is one. And I've been experimenting with the tools. And they are fun and they are useful, but it's the... But to use the Wii hardware so that you wouldn't need anything else, and then they could make it so that instead, because most of these tools are all like map based, so it's kind of like an overhead projector, and then you just kind of interact that way. But if they did it with the Wii U, you could have it almost like adventure style, where it's like, I'm going to spawn a Balrog right in front of you, and then all of a sudden the four people on the screen in an action style environment have to fight this thing, as opposed to like a turn based, you know, dice rolling. You could really expand on that and have it like, you know, this is like Baldur's Gate or Diablo style with Diablo? You know, with the DM playing.
Diablo.
Let's get that. This is like a bazaar thing.
So you're saying you design your characters and everything in the game too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it would be so much fun.
There's only that would be a really hard like game to make, because there's so much variation you'd have to be able to.
You use the Miis. You're good.
That's funny. Yeah, there you go.
If you can make Super Smash Bros., you can make this work.
That's true. All right, you should pitch that, Kyle. Get on the horn to Nintendo. Get a make.
Well, Penny Arcade already did, and they rejected it. Oh, okay.
Anyway, Connor, how you doing?
I'm great.
What have you been doing this week to celebrate your fandom?
I get together with a regular group of friends once a month, and we work through a variety of different adventures on Dungeons & Dragons. So I'm currently developing a new character, so I'm going to spend pretty much all day Saturday from about noon till probably 1 in the morning, hammering through a quest with about another 5 folks. So it should be a good day. It's a good Saturday. Fine. So yeah. The weekend, the wife's working, so that's my weekend to do D&D.
I didn't know you were into D&D.
I am.
Oh, cool.
Who isn't?
I'm not. I mean, I've played it, but I've never really been that into it. I've always admired the kind of the paper, pencil and paper RPGs, because it really does take your entire imagination to play it, right? Like, that's kind of the idea. And I just, I know I've played, you know, D&D, Shadowrun, the Star Wars RPG when it came out. I've played all these, but I've never really gotten to a regular thing with a group of friends.
Well, and that's what got me hooked on D&D is I played it when I was a kid for quite a long time, and then it fell off the wayside. And then I kind of got hooked on, you know, the variety of RPGs on consoles. I think it was Knights of the Old Republic that got me hooked in that type of an RPG type online game. And then I kind of grew from there. And then Mass Effect got me reintroduced to it as well, from that kind of a sense of creating a character through a quest. And then a group of friends of mine here at work actually asked me if I wanted to get involved and join their merry band of adventurers. So yeah, I've been doing that, I don't know, for about a year.
That sounds like fun. We should. Can we join?
We'll start a fan quest D&D group.
That would be great. Actually, that's a great idea. Fan quest D&D.
Connor, what's your character? What kind of character do you play?
I'm playing a ranger right now.
Okay. See, this depicts your personality.
What's that?
Chaotic neutral. This defines who you are. Like, this is important. So.
That's very.
Yeah. I play a goblin wild magic sorcerer. So.
Oh my god.
What does it say about you?
It means I like to wreck stuff.
I watched Lord of the Rings last week. That was fun. The entire trilogy.
Like start to finish.
Extended editions?
Yes, extended editions. They're stupidly long.
They're so long.
It's what's on Netflix. So the first one was the normal one. And then the second, the Two Towers and Return of the King were both the extended editions, which are like 4 hours plus.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it all at once. So I did it in sittings. I'd watch like an hour and a half here or there. But what I really learned, and I don't think I've really gone back to these films since they were in the theater or so shortly there after they were released on DVD. But what I really learned was I didn't like the Two Towers as much as I thought I did.
I really love the Two
Towers.
The
worst of the three.
Well, no, I think Return of the King is the worst of the three.
Return of the King is too long.
It's too long.
Like, it's hard to stay invested and paying attention the entire time.
Yeah, oh. I agree, and that I mean the Battle of Helm's Deep is pretty impressive, but so is that that battle in the what's it called, the mines of Moria. Moria, where they're fighting off the orcs and that troll, and then the Balrog comes along, and I mean the first ten minutes of, or five minutes really of the Two Towers is cool because you get to see Gandalf take on the Balrog in the middle of that fall, but I don't know, I just found that the Two Towers was not as good as I remembered. And I don't know why.
I think that's my favorite one.
It was my favorite one. And now I like the Fellowship of the King, of the Rings.
Fellowship of the King.
Whatever.
Can I add in to the Lord of the Rings thing?
Yeah.
So what I've been working on as part of it, and this is same with shelf self-promotion, is we have our Lord of the Rings All Who Wander musical readings thing that's going on the 25th. So I've been working on that.
Yeah, so, and we'll have a table there as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what it is like we have like a 9-person vocal group that I'm not singing in, thank God. And they've been working on songs throughout that are found in the books. So they did renditions of songs in the books. They worked with Peter Hollins. He's a YouTube musician, and he's done a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff. And so they've worked with him a little bit to get some of his arrangements. And then we have some voice actors and myself narrating the books. And so it kind of goes into song, book, song, book, song, book throughout as you kind of go through all of the Lord of the Rings story from The Hobbit to the Silmarillion in 2.5 hours. So
that's pretty cool.
That's super
what
cool.
I've been doing. That's pretty much been taking up all my time of trying to figure out how to pronounce all of these stupid elvish names.
Yeah, he was actually like a linguist before an author, and like created all the languages, and was like, well, I guess I have to do something with all these languages, and then just wrote one of the most famous trilogies ever out of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
And that's one thing they didn't bring into the films was the songs. Like those were all kind of left.
There's so many songs in the books.
Yeah, there are
so many songs.
I remember actually seeing as a kid seeing the animated version of The Hobbit, which was you know that cool kind of 70s animation they used to do where they just would draw over a film. I guess is kind of what they did.
Yeah,
I remember what they called it. But if you haven't seen it, you should really see it. It's really interesting. It's very kind of 70s and psychedelic and cool looking. And it is for kids. It's The Hobbit, so it is meant for kids. But there are songs. There are absolutely songs in that as well. So they did take some of the songs from The Hobbit. And I actually, I'll confess this as well, I've never actually watched the Hobbit trilogy of movies.
Don't,
I never did watch those.
Don't,
no,
don't.
I don't.
Oh, you
don't,
never did?
No. Just no. I watched the first 10 minutes of The Hobbit and just couldn't get into it. And then I just didn't bother with it after that. So
if you haven't ever seen the behind the scenes stuff from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, watch it. It's really good.
A really good job.
I think that's going to be it for the podcast, guys.
And we didn't even talk about the rumors that Star Trek Discovery might get canceled now that it's been delayed.
What?
Yeah, I heard about that too.
Oh, man.
And I blame Connor.
I blame Connor as well, but then I blame CBS because they can't seem to get their stuff together to get. Like, this is a beloved franchise. It's doing so well in the film format. There's no reason why there should be a TV show. There should always be a Star Trek TV show on at all times.
And
you know, it's guaranteed ratings for any network that decides to air it. And they're not even going to air it. They're going to put it on their stupid online
streaming only.
Yeah, which is dumb. And we probably won't even get that in Canada, so we won't even be able to watch it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, there's rumors that it might get canceled. I certainly hope that's not the case.
Give it a chance, guys. Give it a chance.
I will.
Not you. I'm talking to CBS.
Well, you're talking to us too, you know.
I'm talking to CBS. CBS is clearly listening to this podcast. Okay.
I certainly hope they are.
I'll send it to them. That's it for this episode of the FanQuest podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Christiana Jones.
I'm Connor Lloyd.
I'm Leonard Rutchenko.
And I'm the best for last, Kyle Rudge.
Say that's it.
That's it.